En die mondjie bly ons so. En dis my ons het geglimlag. And so, this is the way I pictured because scripture said they came with great pomp. And obviously the people, they went crazy. King Agrippa, Bernice. And so they say, okay, Paul, we want to hear your story. Then Paul explains to them how he gets saved. Paul sê vir hulle, hy van die liggaam geslat het. Oh, ek kan nie sien nie. En hy is blind. En die stem wat met Paulus praat, en hy lê aan die, Paul explains this to them, and Paul explains to them what happened to him, why he's in jail, and then Paul says the following, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul says, you know what, King Agrippa? Everything happened to me, I even died. But I want you to know I was not disobedient to what God called me to do. I was never disobedient to the heavenly vision. And if you want to stay focused, you must never be disobedient to the heavenly vision that God gave you. Never. You stay obedient to it. You don't complain. You don't moan. Paul is in chains. He's standing there. The Jews want to kill him. The Romans think he's crazy. Because if you read this chapter, while Paul explains to them about Jesus Christ that rose from the dead, King Agrippa says to the Apostle Paul, Paul, all the learning made you mad. Paulus van alle leer is jy mal, al is mal. En dan staan Paulus, Paulus sê, I'm not mad. In jou oor sê ek mal, maar ek is, but I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Paul says, you know, I was saved by grace. It's God's grace that met me in the desert, knocked me off the camel or my horse, the donkey, whatever it was, I can't remember. I went blind. By faith I was saved. And I was obedient. And so the thing about obedience is not mechanical. And this is the shift that we need to make as a church. Gehoorsaamheid is nie meganiese, ek doen dit omdat ek het moet doen nie. Obedience outside of relationship is mechanical slavery. En ons is die slawe om gehoorsaam te wees buitenkant verhouding. Obedience is worship. Gehoorsaamheid is aanbidding. Dis iets wat ek doen nie. You're willing and you're obedient to what God calls you to do. In other words, I don't just do stuff because I do stuff because I have a relationship with God. He loves me and He wants the best for me. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm obedient to Christ as worship unto God. Are you following me this morning? In John chapter 4 verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. God's food, Jesus' food, was obedience to the Father. This course form. Even till the point of death, He finished it. But it was obedience as worship. God, my obedience to You is the work that I do because it is Your will. Jou wil is deel van my werk. En jou werk is deel van jou wil. And I'm doing it because I'm obedient to You. And so if you want to stay focused, the one thing that we need to get right, we need to be obedient to the vision that God has given you. We need to be obedient to the vision of the church where you are. And we need to be obedient to the vision that Jesus gave us. But obedience is worship. Because if obedience is not worship, we will run away from the vision. In other words, like the Apostle Paul, all hell came against him, but he was obedient as worship. He's worshiping Jesus. And you know what? He's standing there alone and they're saying, Paul, you cuckoos. He's in chains. The Jews want to kill him. The Romans think he's crazy. Who's this Jesus that rose from the dead? Aistana. Fail. Demakar. But he says, you know what, I'm obedient. And then the second thing, if you want to stay focused, is beautifully captured in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with the flesh and the blood. But you know what? Calling. You need to know that you are called. Jy moet weet jy is geroep. Niemand kan enige een van ons voorberei vir die moeilikheid van die lewe wat voor lê nie. Ons papas en ons mamas kan vir ons daarvan vertel, en hulle kan vir ons leer hoe om moeilike situasies te hanteer. Maar as die pop op die venster raak, moet jy weet jy is geroep. Want dit gaan jou stand hou. You must know within your heart, I'm called to do this. Kom ons raak gou prakties. As jy nou weet jy is geroep, as 'n man wat in die boerdery bedryf, op 'n plaas moet boer, en vir een of ander rede reën dit nou nie daai jaar nie. Kom ek sê nou gou vir jou, of as jy nou soos hulle is, daar Wynand, Piet, hier is ook 'n man van die grond, hulle raak my so opgewonde as jy met hulle oor sand praat. Hoe die sand, die boerdery, die son wat opkom, sien jy, dit is 'n roeping. Nou, die dag as dit nou nie reën nie, en die oes is nou ingedrang, die enigste ding wat jy daar gaan laat bly staan is, as jy weet ek is geroep vir dit. Ek weet die Here het my geroep vir dit, ek weet ek moet dit doen, so ek druk deur. I'm obedient because I know that I'm called. Ek weet ek is geroep. Maar as jy nou nie weet jy is geroep vir dit nie, ek sê jou wat, jy gaan jou wegvat, jy gaan vir die call het wat. I can translate this to so many ways. I can talk about my job, I can talk about your job, but you need to know that you are called. Jy moet weet, jy is geroep. We're not prepared for what the devil throws at us. We're not really, really not prepared. Anything can happen, but if you don't know that you're called, you're going to struggle. Then, after you've obedience, calling, then comes commitment. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You must stay committed. So if the rain doesn't come, you stay committed to what God called you to do. You're not disobedient. Really difficult, but you stay committed. And if you read that scripture, and if you read scripture, you first become a committed follower of Jesus. Jy volg vir Jesus. Jesus sê vir die vissermanne, kom, volg my. En vir Matteus, jy, kom, volg my. En al wat hulle doen het, hulle volg net vir Jesus. Jy is 'n gewyde volger van Jesus. En dit is fantasties, want nie een van hulle is bekeer nie, maar hulle doen wonderwerke. It's amazing, né? Ek weet, dit gooi nou so 'n bietjie mense se paradigmas heel die mekaar. Maar die manne wat vir Jesus volg, nie een van hulle is bekeer nie, maar hulle doen wonderwerke, want hulle volg hy vir Jesus. En so 'n volger van Jesus wat hom toegewyd volg, kan wonderwerke doen. Ek het Jesus gevolg voor ek bekeer is, en ek het my mangelontsteking, wat ek 8 jaar gekry het, weggebid. Ek kan dit vir tot vandag toe nie verduidelik nie, maar ek het dit nog nooit weer gekry nie. Ek het maar gehoor my vriendinne praat van hoe bid hulle in die naam van Jesus, dink ek eendag, maar dis nonsens. Ek het die geloof om die ding gesond te bid, en ek het my vingertjies in, dis weg, nou nog, ek kry dit nie meer nie. Al die dokters wie ek gaan sien het, het so gevluit, dat moet uit, jong. Jy, ek weet, die gezichte, ek onhou het nou nog, tot in George, dokters in George. Ek het som op enige plek gekry, die mangelontsteking het soos paddestoeltjies opgespring in my keel, jy weet, dit kom net, ek kon dit nie keer meer nie. Ek is nou nog genees. Die eerste ou wat bekeer word van die hele lot is Petrus. Die Jesus was toe vir hulle sê, wie sê mense, wie sê ek, en wie sê, you're the Christ, the living God. Dis toe Petrus die eerste keer sy hart vir die Here gee. Toe besef hulle eers wie's voor hulle. Maar die rest van die tyd het hulle net vir Jesus gevolg, en hulle het monkey see, monkey do. That's all that they did. You're a committed follower, and that just tells us that we must sacrifice when we're a committed follower. You sacrifice when Jesus says you're following. But then Jesus says, now you must learn to serve. That's the second level when you're committed. You must be a committed servant. You're not in this for yourself. Ander woorde, die plaas wat Wynand het, as voorbeeld, is hy daar vir homself, maar het gee dis werkskepping, en het voorsien die vallei van kos, en het jaap die vallei se ekonomie. Dis het jylle aan die kop skuif wat jy moet maak, is jylle met my. En is daarom ander mense te dien, you're a committed servant. You serve the church, you serve the body, you serve other people. If you cannot be a servant, then you cannot be a follower. Because a follower must come to a point where Jesus says, now you must serve me as you follow me. En dis ek om wat die voet was, proces so prachtig gemaakt. Dit het nie gegaan oor voetjies was. He. Dit het gegaan oor een houding wat Jesus vir hulle, Jesus het hulle gesê, gaan was jy ook nou voete nie. Baie mense interpreteer het, Jesus het gesê, gaan was jy ook voete. Daar is die probleem om voete te was, ek het die probleem om nie. Ek het wil net sê, Jesus het net vir hulle geillustreer wat in sy hart was. So lyk het. Dis hoe die dienskneg lyk. And it's one of the arguments, you know, that we read in scripture. The apostles, this is another amazing thing, Jesus called the apostles, from day one, he called them apostles. Sent ones. It's not an anointing, of jy weet, dit a type baie, it's just that you're a sent one, an apostle. So, Jesus sent them, and it's amazing, one of the arguments that there will be the greatest, and then Jesus stops the bus, Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest, then you must be a servant. Jesus stop die bus, hy stop die bediening, hy doen niks, wonder werk, en hy stop die bus, hy sê, allemaal sit nou hier, nou luister julle vir my. As julle in die koninkryk regtig waar gesag wil hê, dan moet julle ander mense dien. And so you must be a committed servant, and then Jesus calls you a friend. Now say, I no longer call you servants anymore, but I call you friends. Now tell my vrienden. Because after they've become friends, now Jesus will tell them, now you can go. Amal moet kom, maar amal moet ek gaan. It's now your time to go. It's now your time to plant seed. That is the principle of being committed. Staying committed. Luke chapter 14 verse 28 to 31 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see him should begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with the 20,000. In other words, when it comes to commitment, you must count the cost. What is it going to take me to follow the vision that Jesus has given me? And it's interesting that Jesus also used the analogy of war. In other words, Jesus says, when you follow me, you must know that it's war. When you follow me, you are walking into a war zone. So, you must make the sums in your head. Ooh, wat gaat het kost? But you never run away. At intercession, we had a beautiful moment and we all laughed. I said to the intercession team, sometimes there's a storm and then Jesus sleeps on the boat. Now, I don't know why he sleeps. To say, Tanya, Susan, I check ons uit so. I kijk wat maak hulle. But you know what? How many of us, we jump off the boat, but Jesus is still sleeping there. Don't jump off the boat. Jy spring nie af terwyl hy nog daar slaap. Hy is mis op die boot. Waarvoor nou afspring, en dan moet jy nou weer op Here help, en dan moet jy nou weer inkatrol, but you stay there. And that is the beautiful thing about war. When Jesus says, you stay, you stay. When Jesus says, you lie down, you lie down. When Jesus says, now you fight back and you pray, then you fight back and pray. Because it's obedience that comes from a calling that shows in your commitment.
How committed am I to do what God has called me to do? And the Apostle Paul was committed. Do you know why Paul wanted to go to Caesar? Weet julle hoekom van Paulus Rome toe gegaan het? Hy wil vir Caesar bekeer het. If you read the account where he speaks to Agrippa and Bernice, Agrippa says to him, Paul, you almost convinced me. Hy sê, Paulus het my amper bekeer. Regtig, julle kan gaan lees. Die koning, hy sê, Jesus, Paulus, as ek hom nou nie, joh, had ek nou my hart vir die Here gegee. And that was Paul's mission. If I can get to Caesar, if I can turn Caesar's heart to serve Jesus, then I can turn a whole nation. You know, I made this example with the leaders. Last year, or a year and a half ago, Robert Mugabe challenged God. I don't know if you can remember that. And so all of us said, now God is going to do something to him. And God did nothing to him. You know why? Because God loves him. And it's just so simple. If Robert Mugabe's heart can be swayed, that whole nation can be saved. It's as simple as that. That's how God works. And that was Paul's mission. Paul says, King Agrippa, I'm not a disobedient to the vision. Julle kan maar dink ek is mal, maar ek weet hier in my agtergemeente, ek is op pad Rome toe, en ek gaan by daai broer uitkom, en ek gaan die evangelie vir daai broer preek. And God help me, if I have to do miracles, I'll do miracles. But if he gives his heart to the Lord, die hele Rome is myne, Italië is myne, Italy is mine. I can speak to the mafia there. You know, I can persuade them. That was Paul's heart, commitment. Then another thing that we need to remember, vision is always in context. A vision within a vision. Kom ek illustreer hom so. Ek het eendag met 'n man gepraat wat by 'n ander kerk aanstoot geneem het om te loop heeltemal weg. So nou vat ek en my vrou en my kinders na 'n restaurantjie toe, ons gaan nou lekker eet. Nou is hy ook aan, nou sien hy vir my. Nou ek weet nie hoekom hulle altyd vir my moet sien nie. Ek wil ons nou maar net my twee eiertjies, my boerewors en my bykentjie eet. Met my koffie. Op 'n Saterdagoggend terwyl my kinders in die sand speel en hulle gee vir die hoenders en die bokkies kos. Maar nou moet ek nou sy pyne hoor. Nee, volgende keer, as my visie groter is, as die kerkse visie, dan vraag ek hom hierdie pastorie, ek volg my visie. And right there, he's wrong. Jou visie en my visie komplementeer die visie van die kerk. Dit kan nie groter as die kerk wees. My vision can never be bigger than Jesus' vision. Nou, baie mense wil dit nie hoor, hulle wil dit ook nie so verstaan nie. They don't want to understand this. En so nou moet ek nou op 'n Saterdagoggend hierna luister. En die koffie ruik lekker. Omdat ek nou wil goed wees, nou luister ek maar. And what I should have done, I should have said, look here, you're wrong, your heart is hurt. You're speaking out of it. Jy praat uit seer kry uit. And you know what? You're disrespectful to God's body. Jesus, sy liggaam kan vol hoeveel skete en pyne is, maar dis sy liggaam. Onhou dit altyd mense. Jesus is die kop en ons is die liggaam. Hy is lief vir sy liggaam. Never judge his body in terms of hurt. We can judge one another as scripture says. In one part scripture says don't judge. Another part scripture says judge. Judgments just mean jy kan nie met verkeerde hart oor mense oordeel. That's wrong judgment. Maar as 'n broer mos nou verkeerd doen, dan moet die judges mos nou by mekaar kom met die broer, sê broer is verkeerd. Verstaan jy wat ek sê? So, what I'm just saying is, when it comes to God's body, we must have respect for it. Ek het met 'n prachtige jong man, hy sê toe vir my, ja, hy wil nie nou in 'n kerk, hy is nou bitter vies en is nou klomp goed, ja. Toe sê ek net vir hom, luister broer, jy gaan by 'n kerk moet inskakel. Jy is net bietjie besig om hier te praat van Jesus se kerk. En ek kan jou nou sê, Jesus is passievol oor sy kerk, hy is lief vir sy kerk. En waar ek vanaand op staan, sien ek, daar is bitterheid in jou hart, wat maak dat jy lelik praat van ander leiers, en jy praat lelik van die kerk. Dis nie mooi nie. Scripture says you're not discerning the body. And if you're not discerning the body, some of you are weak. Some of you are sick. And then the Apostle Paul says some of you are even dying of not discerning the Lord's body. So, in context, Jesus said, but first seek the kingdom and all the things you need in life, and it will, and all that you need in life will be provided for you as well. King Solomon said, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. The vision of this church is really simple. It's to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. And so my vision that God gives me complements the other vision. Kom ons raak gou prakties. Ek het nou 'n visie van die Here. Jy met my. En nou lê ek die visie voor. Maar nou die visie wat ek nou volg, maak nou dat ek nou nie Sondag kan kerk toe kom nie. So nou, daar is, luister gemooi, daar is seisoene wat baie mense op 'n Sondag werk. Ek het die probleem mee nie. Ek kan nie vir die ou sê, moenie werk nie. Waar gaan hy geld kry om nog om kos te koop? So daar werk hy Sondag. Daar kom 'n tyd wat dit draai en daar werk hy nou nie meer Sondag nie, daar werk hy nou Saterdag. En daar kom nou 'n tyd wat sy visie van so aard is, dat hy ook die Woensdag by klein groep kan uitkom nie. Daarmee het ek ook die probleem nie. Maar nou, wanneer sy visie om so weghou van waar hy moet wees, en het raak een sonde, dan moet ek ons nou met hem praat. Want hy moet by klein groep kom, the fellowship of the believers, scripture says that, and he must come to church. Hy kan nie sy visie so drijf, en sy verhouding met die medegelowiges in die kerk afskeep, tot op so mate, dat hy geïsoleerd is. Maak het sin wat ek sê? Dis moest nou nie reg hee. Is jylle met my? So nou moet ek met hom gaan praat en sê, luister broer, it's a beautiful vision is of God, but we have to look at two things. When it comes to vision within context, the first thing, you must ask God, God, is this vision of you? If the vision is of God, the second thing is important. God, is the timing right for this vision? Because if the timing is not right, that vision will frustrate you. It will choke you. Jy gaan moeg word en iets doen wat jy nie nou moet doen nie. Hy sê met my. So vision is always within context. En, verskoon my, die context verskil altyd. Met ander woorde, Tine se visie en Nathan se visie en Magrita se visie moet ek in context sien van waar hulle nou is. Met ander woorde, ek neem alles wat hulle vir my sê, en ach, ek sit het op die tafel neer, en dan praat ons hiermee, en ons hoor by die Here, hoe gaan die visie werk, en hoe gaan die visie, die groter visie, komplementeer. Daai visie kan nie die ander visie teenwerk. En so dis waar die kerk al die jare uitgevang is, want Jesus sê, a kingdom divided against itself will never grow. So, church sometimes is just a kingdom divided against itself. En niemand van die tyd om vir mense te sê nie, wow, ons sê nie die visie is nie van die Here af nie, ons sê nie die twee visies kan nie competitie het nie. Want een visie verdeeld, het gaat nooit groei nie. Maak het sin, wat, hoor jy wat Jesus sê, is ons op dieselfde golflengte. So, jou visie moet die visie complementeer. En hierdie kerkse visie moet die ander kerkse visie complementeer. Ons is geroep vir ander plekke, vir ander tye, ons is nie die enigste kerkie, maar ons moet mekaar complementeer, maar nou wat gebeur, die context word die altemaal in verband geruk, en sommige kerk is in competitie met mekaar. Hoeveel mense het julle in julle kerk? Ek vraag nie mee, sikke vraag nie, ek is ook nie mee lisse met beantwoord. Nou, hoeveel is julle nou? Because I know what they want to do. They want to put me in a rank. Okay, you're 500, oh, you're there. We want to change, well, you're 80, you're only there. And within context, it's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Subconsciously, things of the world crept in when it comes to vision and focus. And then we focus on how many people. And then we focus on who and what. And we must do a sheep count. But we do a sheep count with the right heart. Us here. And we know where we're going and what we do. But we're not in competition. Ons is in competitie, is jylle met my. So,
Let me just see. Let's skip the part on what's the enemies of our vision. Let's just go to now, how do I get vision? Then I'll finish off with that. Ek gaan nie nou nog oor die vyande van jou visie praat nie. Julle kan my notas kry as jy dit wil hê, dis daarin heel maklik uitgetik. So my notas is beskikbaar, julle kan dit kry. Dan kan julle maar net sien, wat is die vyande van jou visie? How do I get vision? Conclusion. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampant and watch to see what you will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The first thing is, you must pray for your vision. God will show you a need, in other words, God gaan vir jou 'n nood wys, en jy gaan betrokke wil raak by daai nood, and then God will show you his ways and how to do it. But now, once again, God will show you the need, you must just go check if it's the timing. It's no use in you wanting to run with a vision, but you don't have the resources to do it. It's going to frustrate you. It's going to choke you. You with me? The second thing, you must write the vision down. Act in it altijd. When people come to me and they tell me about a dream that they have and they feel it's of the Lord, then I'll tell them, write it down. And some people, they never write it down. In the next week, they come to me and they tell me about a new vision. Hey, you don't know, you've made die gesien. Then I also say, okay, write that down also. It's all that I do all the time. And then the next week, they don't write it down. They come to me and they say, no, but the Lord said this to me now. And then I say, okay, now write that down also. And my heart is that they will catch this thing. As long as it's here, it's a dream. Jy droom. As it op blad is, dan maak het praktisch sin, want daar kan ons kyk. Okay, jy sê jy wil werk tussen prostitute doen. Jy het jou contact gemaakt met die politielede. Want om met prostitute te werk, moet jy weet, hulle het pumps. So die pumps mag jou dalk dophou, en hulle mag dalk jou leven neem, want jy kost nou vir hulle geld. So as jy die meisie bekeer het, waar gaat sy bly? Wie gaat vir haar kos gee? Of gaan jy net vir haar boodskapie preek, haar bekeer, haar los jy haar nou? Okay. Waar is die huis? Is it going to be a safe house? Is it going to be outside? Because the pump is going to look for this lady. En as hy kerk te kom en die pimp weet sy kom by die kerk, hoe gaan ons die gemeente hier oor inlig? So as hy daarin gestap kom, weet allemaal is die pimp en ons kry 'n paar groot manne reg. Want ons vat vir hom vinnig agter toe en ons sorteer vir hom uit en sê vir hom, jy los vir haar af, sê, you must think about this. Want hy kom hier en hy pluk vir haar hier rond en nou weet allemaal nie wat om te doen nie. Is dit 'n huweliksding of what? You understand? That is why you need to write down a vision so that everybody can have an understanding of what we need to do. There's nothing difficult about reaching nations and generations. We want to make disciples, and then we want to develop leaders, and then we want to plant churches. And so there's ways in we're doing it. Ons het al uitgestipuleer en ons werk aan. Ander woorde, daar's 'n plan. Ons plant dit net, ons werk van deel. You must write it down because it makes it practical and it makes it understandable. Then, number three, you must develop a plan and a strategy, as I've just explained. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get this? You must have a plan and you must have a strategy because that is the changeable things. There's some things that God will say that you must do. There's some things that you must change. Cecilia met my. Dis een ding om fondasie een aan te bied met een fasiliteerder. Dis 'n ander ding as daar weekliks 85 mense vir fondasie een kom. Wie gaan waar aanbied? Then your strategy changes, then you put the foundations on DVD. Dan sny jy 20 koppies van die foundations op verskillende DVD's, jy maak die groepies kleiner en dan kry jy 40 mense op 'n slag by mekaar. By verskillende lokale, but you're still making disciples, you're still doing leadership development, but your strategy has changed. And then last but not least, you must commit and communicate. You must take action
And then you must just realize what is it going to take to complete the vision. And it's really important to communicate the vision to other people. If you don't communicate the vision, you will operate like a lone ranger. And it's your responsibility to go and communicate the vision. You must communicate. Jy moet gaan sit en sê, luister, dis hoe ek dink ons kan dit doen. En dan kry ons expertise by mekaar om saam met jou hierdie ding uit te werk, as hy gaan werk. And guys, if it's not happening, if it's really not the Lord, just step back for a bit. We must learn how to receive wisdom to deal with failure. It's alright om 'n fout te maak, and it's alright om te faal. It's about how you get up and how you follow the vision that God has been given you. That God has given you. Are you with me? So that is how you stay focused. You're obedient, you're committed, you know that you're called, and you always realize that your vision is in context with another vision. It's really that simple. And so I really would want to encourage you. Move with what God has given you. And so many people, they don't see their working place as the place where God called them. Van ons moet net eers by ons werk begin. En ons werk skitterend doen. En op tyd wees. Ons werk skitterend doen. Op datum wees. Ons baas dien, want dis waar hy geroep is. En jy gee vir hom net die beste. Alles hy hoe. Snaaks met jou en lelik met jou. Of hoe knorrig. Ek bedoel nou nie, moet nie toelaat dat mense op jou trap, ek praat nie daarvan nie. Maar dit is moeiliker om sommige mense te dien as ander mense. Dit is mos nou so. Is dit nie? Is makliker om 'n ander ou te dien as 'n ander ou. Dit is mos nou maar een van die eenvoudige dinge in die lewe. Dit is niks, dit is niks moeiliker aan nie. Skrif sê dit, jy eer hulle, ongeag. You give them honor. Doesn't mean you can't go and talk to them about what bugs you in your heart, but you give them honor. There's a way that you do things. And there's something that God expects of us that needs to be settled within our hearts when we talk to leadership. Even if they do not follow God, you honor and you respect them because that is what God expects of us. God says we must honor the kings. Jy moet hulle eer, jy moet respek het vir hulle en vir die kinders vandag hier wat in die skool is, jy respekteer jou onderwyser, so dwars en so snaaks hy is. You don't disrespect him. You never disrespect him. Because it's an authority that God has given us. And it's a really important thing if you want to be obedient to the vision. If you cannot help another man in his vision, your own vision will never come to fruition. Never. Jy gaan altyd moet veg en afvat en gryp om jou visie te laat volg. En het gaan altyd 'n kompetisie wees. Maar as jy leer om 'n ander man te dien, met hart en siel, dan val jou net so in plek, as jy het op blad gesit. Dis eenvoudig soos dit. And so I really want to bless you with this. Staying focused. Almal is geroep. Maak vrede daarmee ook. Net van ons wil jy hoor. Nee, ek is nie vir dit nie. Ek wil jy hoor. Almal is geroep. Jy staan op jou roeping. Jy het 'n visie. God het vir jou visie gegee. Dis nou een ding. God staan nie soggens op en wonder hy wat hy moet doen nie. So die dag as jy opstaan en dink, wat doen ek nou vandag? Dan moet jy begin wonder. Jy staan altyd op en jy weet wat jy daai dag doen. Because God is a God of vision. Hy's produktief. Hy's effektief. Hy's doelgerig. Can we stand? David, kan ons om... musiekie skryf. All I want to do is just pray a simple prayer that we will be obedient to the vision that God gave us. It's a simple, ek gaan niemand, as jy wil gebed hê, ek sal hoor wat die Here nou sê, maar as jy wil gebed hê, dan kan jy kom. Maybe some of us never, we don't have a vision.
Miskien weet jy net, Jesus, nou wat is dit dan nou?
Nou, as jy nie weet wat jy moet doen nie, dan is die eerste punt is, jy moet eers die ou wat het vir jou kan gee, jy moet eers vir hom ontmoet. Jy moet eers vir hom sê, Here, hier is ek, ek kom nou vir oggend na u toe. Dis die eerste stapie. Jy moet vir hom sê, Here, hier is ek, ek wil u volg, waar u ook al gaan, wil ek u volg. En dan met die tyd sal hy vir jou wys. En dis soos hy roep werk. Roeping tot jou visie, maar eers roeping tot jou bekering. Dis die belangrikste stap. Jy moet erkenning gee. So, terwyl almal se oë toe is, Vader, die Gees beweeg nou soos water. Dit raak almal in 'n so koel verfrissing. Terwyl almal se oë toe is, as jy nog nooit die een ontmoet het wat vir jou visie kan gee nie, as jy nog nooit gesê het, Here, hier sê ek, if you've never told God, God, I'm here and I want vision from you. Ek het nog nooit vir u gesê, ek kom na u toe nie. Iets vir my al gesê, los my, ek het nooit gevolg nie. As daar iemand soos dit, kan jy gou jou hand vir my opsteek asseblief? Because God really wants to meet. If you've never given your life to the Lord, as jy nog nooit gesê het, Here, hier sê ek jy. As daar so iemand ek weer daar is, steek net jou handjie op. Ek wil baie graag net vir jou lei en net vir jou nader bring. Want die ou wat hy visie vir jou kan gee, is hy. En hy is die een wat nou met jou praat. So is daar so iemand wat vandag daai bold stap wil neem, jy wil. As jy onseker is, tik in die een langs jou en sê, luister, ek wil, maar ek weet nie lekker hoe nie. Dis ek alraai. Who wants to do that? Who wants to give their life to the Lord this morning? Wie wil hy stap vanoggend neem? Ek gaan hom net so 'n bietjie laat simmer, want ek weet die Heilige Gees is hier en hy wil regtig mense aanraak in daai sin. Secondly, if you don't have vision, as jy doelloos is, just raise your hand. Is there anybody like that? You don't have vision, you don't know where to go to, you don't know what to do. I just want to pray for you guys. I'm just trusting God to do this for you. It's not between me and you. And it's really simple. Ek gaan dit nie mooi verf en mooi maak. Jy ouens, as jy voel dis vroeging en jy het rigting in jou lewe nodig, kom vorentoe as jy rigting in jou lewe nodig het. Ek gaan regtig hier vandag met mooi woordjies verf, want ek weet dis een van die pynlikste dinge om soggens op te staan en jy weet nie. Dis 'n pynlike ding. Dit moet verskriklik wees. Dis vir my erger as die dood. Maar om net op te staan en jy weet hoekom ek op te staan en hoekom ek hier is, dis nie lekker nie. If you want to know why you are here, just raise your hands. If jy wil weet, as jy wil weet hoekom jy hier is, lig jou hande op. Kom na die Here toe. As daar enige persoon soos dit? So everybody knows where they're going. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, as you move, your spirit will touch. God, you're a God of obedience. It's either we are obedient to your call or we're not. And so God, in the name of Jesus, by the authority that you've given me, I pray that you will go and that you will convict. And you will speak to people straight, God. And God, if we want to know it or not, it's not optional if we want to serve you. We can, but we will bear the consequences. And so, Father, in u genade raak u mense aan. Here, die trots wat ek vanoggend ervaar om nie wil erkenning te gee nie, u moet dit afbreek. You must break it down, God. It's between you and us. You come and you touch our hearts. And Father, it's things that we've never prayed over this pulpit. But God, you're the God of this church. You're the God of this city. In the name of Jesus. Gaan ons nog een liedjie sing, Here? Wat is daar nog? Wat kan ons nog sing, Kalie? Forever. Forever reign. God reigns forever. So terwyl ons sing, as jy voel die Here het vir jou aangeraak deur hierdie ding, steek hy trots diep in jou broeksak. Dis maar eenvoudig. Ons trotsak is baie lank, dit kom tot by ons enkels. Steek alles af van en weg en dan kom jy vorentoe. Dis die ekkie, dis tussen jou en die Here. En die enigste ding is net, ek kan jou regheid sê, en ek het dit nog nooit die vanaand af gesê nie. Maar as jy nie die knie wil buigie, dan moet jy maar weer teruggaan, daar vanaand af waar jy kom. Ek is nou ernstig en ek bedoel dit nie sleg deur jou weg te jaag. Daar is soveel mense met wie ek praat en sê ek, die enigste manier hoe die ding gaan werk is, jy het vir my geroep vir hulp. Maar jy moet die knie buig voor die koning. As jy nie wil nie, dan is ek maar wie uit. Want ek het nie ander antwoord nie. Ek gaan nie nou in 'n klomp boeke antwoorde vir jou lees nie. Maar jy buig jou knie hier voor hom. Nie voor my nie. Maar as ons nie daaroor kan praat nie, dan moet ons maar weer tee drink. Want ek het regtig nie ander geselsies as 'n oplossing vir jou probleem nie. Is julle met my? Verstaan julle waarvandaan af ek kom? Ek kom hier uit die ding uit, ek voel nou sleg omdat mense nie wil nie. It's just this thing of the Holy Spirit that's just coming with me. The God of grace says, this is the year that you will see the other side of my grace. And you must make a peace with it. I must make a peace with it. That is the way God speaks and that is the way God works. And so ek weet, daar is baie Bybel leraars wat genade so mooi uitbeeld. But there's the other side of grace. There is the other side of grace. And we must deal with that side of grace. Are you with me? Worry of half none of my kom. I'm not saying this to be arrogant or bad. I'm just saying you must bow the knee before the King. Otherwise, you will get no other solution. I'm serious. And it's not a threat. I'm just feeling this from God's side of love. Because He love compels us. The Apostle Paul says, we must compel people. Sy liefde en sy goedheid bring jou tot bekering. En is sy liefde en sy goedheid wat uitroep na my en na jou toe. But besides that, guys, there's no other answer that I can give. There's no other solution than Jesus. Maar jy moet die knie buig. En ek moet nou elke dag buig. Regtig. Letterlik. Ek moet elke dag 'n commitment maak en sê, Here, daar is maar goed wat ek vandag moet doen, wat ek nie wil doen nie, maar ek weet is deel. But God, give me that desire. Gee my daai vermoë om dit te doen. Help vir my, Here. Gee my daai krag. En dan knak ek. En dan sê ek, Here, hier gaan ek. En Here, soos ek gaan, is nog steeds die lus om dit te doen nie. Ek ry my in die kar, ek gaan nou daar toe, ek gaan met my een praat, ek is die lus, die siel, ek gesprek hier nie. En ek ry... En ek kom uit, ek doen dit. I'm subject to His will. I discipline my body into subjection. Unless I preach and I become disqualified of what I say. Dis mooi, mense. Ek weet jy hoekom ons dit as negatief ervaar hier. Dis 'n blessing. Dis is almal wat ja en amen sê, ag ja, amen nie. I love a God who can challenge me. Ek hou van 'n God wat vir my kan sê, jy is buite orde, jy is uit lyn uit. Kom my kind, ek wil met jou praat, sit hier. Ek hou van 'n God wat nie 'n probleem het om my te dissiplineer nie. Ek hou van 'n God wat sê, papas en mamas, dissiplineer julle kinders. Geef hulle pak slaag. Ek het nie probleem om vir hulle pak slaag. Ek hou van so'n God. He's such a beautiful father. Because He disciplines those who He loves. Oh God, we're here to worship You. I'm just feeling Your tangible presence here this morning. Oh. En Here, vir van ons wat nie verhoudings met ons paans gehad het nie, of met ons ouers nie, ons aan ervaar het vanoggend negatief, maar dis nie negatief nie. Dit is nie. It's the arms of a loving Father that opens and says, You come to me. Kom die wat swaar belas. Kom. Ek roep julle. Soos ons sing, kom julle vorentoe, ek wil net vir julle vra, kan jy geopsit waar nie? Om net hier te staan. Anders moet ons oor jou kop sing, het gaan nie lekker werkie, maar hier en daar, as jy voel, die Here het jou aangeraak in enig van jou, kom hier vorentoe, na die liedjie, gaan ek afsluit, en dan sal ons vir die mense hier, met baie dankie dat julle gekom het, dit is 'n groot blessing. Ek wil ons met opgewonde raak vir die hele dorp, fondasies vir die hele dorp,
kerk vir die hele dorp. Ons hou kerk vir die hele dorp, nie net vir ons, vir die hele dorp. Van Avian Park reg deur tot Zalentemba. A heart open for everybody. Hier is klomp leesstoele. Dit is vir die wat moet kom. En die gebou moet te klein raak. Ons moet kerk hou vir die hele, dit is 'n opskyf wat ons moet maak mense. Ons hou kerk vir die hele dorp. Ek gaan dit weer sê, ons hou kerk vir die hele dorp. Gaan bid oor dit. Here, wat beteken dit om kerk te hou vir die hele dorp? Wat moet ek doen? I want us to think that way. Amen.